with me traveling.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. We're on the phones. We have Fred in Iowa on the line. And I mentioned Ralph McGahee's quote, which I've cited many times. Ralph McGahee was a decorated CIA case officer, 25-year veteran, even received commendation in the Career Intelligence Medal, but was very outspoken in his views. And again, you know, the quote, you know, he said the CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. I think there's clarification that helps. I'm going to read all of it. It's kind of lengthy, but not too lengthy. It helps for context. This is from John Stockwell's book, In Search of Enemies, a CIA story. It's the author's note to the book. It's an excerpt from the author's note. And I quote, "In discussing our foreign intelligence organ, the CIA namely, we consistently confuse two very different offices, referring to both as, quote, CIA. The one, technically called the Central Intelligence Agency's Deputy Directorate of Information, DDI, fulfills the mission outlined in the National Security Act of 1947. Of centralizing all of the raw intelligence available to our government, collating it, analyzing it for meaning and importance, and relaying finished reports to the appropriate offices. Had such an office existed in 1941, we would have been forewarned of Pearl Harbor." And, well, I won't add anything to that. But he writes, "The DDI is overt. Its employees are openly CIA, quote-unquote, to friends, relatives, neighbors, and creditors. It is passive, and it is benign, without aggressive activity which can harm anyone. Otherwise, we say CIA, quote-unquote, meaning the clandestine services of the Deputy Directorate of Operations. This organization of about 4,500 employees is in the CIA headquarters building in Langley, Virginia. Anything but benign. Its operatives have for 30 years, recruited agents sporadically and engineered covert action operations in virtually every corner of the globe." Well, but how does John Stockwell know? Well, getting to that. "I was a field case officer of the clandestine services, and by December 1976, when I announced my resignation, I was persuaded that at the very least, those services needed a major reform. I say bad tree, bad fruit, but listen," John Stockwell explains. "Before I decided to resign and write a book, I considered the options for working with the CIA for reforms. The prospects were not encouraging. The isolation of the intelligence business provides management with extraordinary leverage over the rank and file." You know, all those folks that everyone's saying, you know, they're great people, great men and women. Sure, listen to what comes next. "While the CIA benevolently protected and supported officers who had been rendered ineffective by life's tragedies, it had little tolerance of the outspoken individual, the reformist. An officer could play the game and rise, or keep his peace and have security, or he could resign. I had, through the years, made positive recommendations for reform, both verbally and writing, to my African division bosses, and on occasion to Colby himself, the director, Director Colby himself, without result. The Inspector General's office was competent to handle petty problems, but as an instrument of the director's managerial system, it could not address matters of reform. And I had found the club, quote unquote, of CIA managers arrogantly resistant to criticism of their own ranks when I spoke out about the most flagrant mismanagement that I knew about, which occurred during the evacuation of Vietnam. I was politely and gently admonished. The culprit was given a position of authority, vindicated by the support of his colleagues. I had better keep my peace. You know, just as a parenthetical aside, I would add J. Michael Springman's remarks about the Jeddah Consulate, the CIA's Jeddah Consulate, and what he calls the U.S. government's visas for terrorist program. What happened to those folks? 15 of 19 alleged Saudi hijackers are officially on the record, according to the establishment narrative, Saudis who received their visas through the CIA's Jeddah Consulate and through what J. Michael Springman calls the U.S. government's visas for terrorist program. What happened there was, as John Stockwell put it, the culprit given a position of authority and vindicated by the support of his colleagues. What happened to J. Michael Springman? Was he informed he better keep his peace? Yes. And worse. Only in the forum of public debate, John Stockwell writes, outside the CIA could effective leverage be had to correct the agency's wrongs. After resigning, I testified for 5 days to Senate committees, giving them full details about such agency activities as are covered in this book. Had I been reassured that they would take effective corrective action, I would have considered abandoning my own plans to write. Unfortunately, the Senate Intelligence Committees in Washington are unable to dominate and discipline the agency. Again, unfortunately, think about today's hearings. Unfortunately, the Senate Intelligence Committees in Washington are unable to dominate and discipline the agency. Some senators even seem dedicated to covering up its abuses. Once again, I concluded that only an informed American public can bring effective pressure to bear on the CIA. This is from one of those unimpeachable witnesses, John Stockwell, a guy who served a distinguished career in the CIA and along the way tried to work within the system to reform it. Guess what? It's not broken. It's working exactly as it was built. Listen to what Michael Rupert said about that for one of the best exposés on the genesis of the modern United States intelligence community. Anyway, Fred, your thoughts?
But a few had the time to monitor the rest of RBN's show today. They're going to be running damage control on my call. Okay, if I had my druthers, I would prefer to be liked. But I do not need the approval of man. And I pray that I have the approval of God. And you're doing a great job, Chris. And I thank you, and bye.
Thank you, Fred. I always appreciate your sentiments. John Stockwell, in his book, you know, he refers to Philip Agee and guys like Victor Marchetti. How come we're not hearing from these guys on the 6 o'clock news instead of the Phil Muds? Why aren't we getting their input? You know, again, going back to Colonel Larry Wilkerson's New York Times op-ed, I helped sell the false choice of war once, it's happening again, and him referring to the folks that, you know, the same voices that we're hearing again, the John Brennans, the John McLaughlins, the Phil Muds et al. Why aren't we hearing from these other guys? Why are we hearing from, you know, everybody that wants to wield a big hammer and beat the world with it? Everything's a nail. Everyone's a nail. I ask rhetorically. Let's go back to the phones and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, I want to thank you for keeping the information that used to be promoted by the old Patriots alive, because, you know, I have some agreements with Fred. You know, a lot of them, they have forgotten, or worse. I feel like some of them have more loyalty to the agenda of Cecil Rhodes and the English crown than they do to us Americans. I'll be straight up honest, okay? You know, in fact, I know for sure, not the biggest one, but another one on the other network, absolutely is a British Israelite. And there are others who I think fly under the radar and don't come out and say it, but they are also. And as far as I'm concerned, these people are more loyal to the British Empire than they are to America. That's how I feel. You know, we all, because they were the winners of the war, you know, there's an abuse cycle kind of thing. You know, when people kind of get away from an oppressor and then they gain power, they were oppressed before, then they become oppressors.
Right.
I think that's a lot what happened, okay, here in America.
I agree. And you know, and I have talked about that at length. When I mention Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed, usually you and I kind of discuss that whole psychopathy,
yeah.
And you've brought up Philip Zimbardo's The Lucifer Effect and the Stanford Prison Experiments, etc. Yeah, absolutely.
This is the deal. Because the winners of the wars write the history, every one of us in this country, you know how Fred always talks about normalcy bias?
Yeah.
Every one of us has we're seeing the world through a British biased lens, because we were all educated through their lens. You know, and you know, I'll give y'all some of my favorite sayings. Bias is like a backpack, you can't see your own. And another one is success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. These people whitewashed and saw themselves through this rosy lens, and they taught this view of the world to all the rest of us, okay? Now, we were kind of all raised that, oh, America is some kind of meritocracy, but here I am in my mid-60s, and I'm finding out, wait a minute, they left out some facts, and that's not quite right. And I
Renee.
Learned this. Yeah.
Renee, you mean I can be president? It's a meritocracy. I can be president of the United States. I can be POTUS. It should be POTUSOA, shouldn't it? But
you know,
anyway,
as well
but
as
seriously.
I do, you can't.
Probably not. Yeah.
And so the thing is, okay, and I learned this actually from Kim Wise, okay? Now, he was talking about the blacks, but get past that, folks. It's not just the blacks. The same thing that happened to the blacks happened to many millions of whites.
Well,
a little video called 400 Year Head Start. And it's
When I hear that, I always think of Alan Watt talking about the rednecks, you know? Go back and, again, learn history for real, folks. And, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is the deal. You know, I know y'all are going to remember this. We were always kind of taught that, oh, it's some kind of, oh, anybody can succeed in America. And, you know, if you don't, we were all made to feel, well, you don't have nothing. You must not have that Protestant work ethic. But what they don't tell you is they never taught us about the Head Right program, and that many of these people who they always look down their noses at everybody that came after them is not as good and lazy and called them Italian N-words and Irish N-words. So they didn't just do this. This isn't just black and white, folks. And the thing is, but they don't tell you is a lot of them kind of like they were born on third base. Because many of these British people were the ancestors of the people who got literally hundreds of millions of acres of land to inherit that they got and then were able to pass down, and many other people did not get. Well, of course. And then they have the gall to tell people, but see, they don't tell you that they started off on third base. Okay? Then they have the gall to say, you must be lazy. You don't have the Protestant work ethic. You know, I have finally put together, this is what they did to all of our heads. Okay, making us feel that we're somehow lazy or inadequate when in actuality, back then, the goal was to be part of the leisure class and not work and get everybody else to do the work for you. And Tim Wise explains this in 400-year head start in 20 minutes better than I can. So there's a lot of people, the thing is, this BS they filled our heads with, I'm in my 60s and I'm still scraping it off.
Well, absolutely. And, to your point, folks need to ask the question, when you see the story of folks like William Jefferson Blythe Clinton, who seems to have a pedigreed, that Cinderella American story.
You got to look a little deeper.
Forrest Gump.
I agree with you on that.
Real.
I think he is the bastard son of someone else more powerful.
Yeah, you definitely have to look
a little closer.
And those are
what a lucky star. He was always seemed to be around to be just blessed,
Yeah. So there's that. We all need to look a little deeper. But the other thing that I think is important to mention, the takeaway, I guess, from all of this is, and this goes back to Fred's call and everything. I don't want any of this to be mischaracterized as, Marxist revolutionary talk. It's definitely not that. It's open your eyes, see what's really going on. And so the danger, I think, these days is this kind of discussion gets folded into a sort of nihilistic discussion and burn it all down, burn down all tradition and all everything. And that I would not advocate, but, just to caution folks to do your own homework. And to your point, the last thing I will say is actually another excerpt from, Russell's The Impact of Science on Society. Speaking of this class architecture, this caste system, skipping forward just a little bit from where I read previously, this excerpt, again, from The Impact of Science on Society by Bertrand Russell, published in 1952, he wrote, "A totalitarian government with a scientific bent might do things that to us, and skipping ahead, he said, any nation which adopts basically a technocratic standard will within a generation secure great military advantages." Sound like America? The system, one may surmise, will be something like this. And again, I would ask, prefacing, does this sound like America? System, one may surmise, will sound something like this, be something like this, except possibly in the governing aristocracy, all but 5% of males and 30% of females will be sterilized. The 30% of females would be expected to spend their years from 18 to 40 in reproduction in order to secure adequate cannon fodder. As a rule, artificial insemination will be preferred to the natural method. The unsterilized, if they desire the pleasures of love, will usually have to seek them with sterilized partners. That all kind of sounds like a Brave New World scenario. Sires will be chosen for various qualities, some for muscle, others for brains. Again, like I've said, everyone plays their role on the stage. All will have to be healthy unless they are to be fathers of oligarchs. They will have to be of a submissive and docile disposition. Children will, as in Plato's Republic, be taken from their mothers, reared by professional nurses. Gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebes would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. The Aztecs, and he adds parenthetically, the Aztecs kept a domesticated alien tribe for the purposes of cannibalism. Their regime was totalitarian. And then just to kind of underscore that or punctuate it, he writes, to those accustomed to this system, the family as we know it would seem as queer as the tribal and totem organization of Australian Aborigines seems to us. Freud would have to be rewritten, and I incline to think that Adler would be found more relevant. The laboring class would have such long hours of work and so little to eat that their desires would hardly extend beyond sleep and food, the upper class being deprived of the softer pleasures, both by the abolition of the family and by the supreme duty of devotion to the state would acquire the mentality of ascetics. They would care only for power in pursuit of it, would not shrink from cruelty.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
I don't care.
Let me recap that excerpt real quick from The Impact of Science on Society. Bertrand Russell, 1952. This is what Bertrand Russell says, basically a scientific dictatorship, a technocracy, a cybernetic totalist environment would look like. This is kind of how – this is part of how he categorizes it. Gradually, and this speaks to the – you know, that disparity, that class disparity and that architecture. Gradually, by selective breeding – the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebes would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. And again, parenthetically, he adds the Aztecs kept a domesticated alien tribe for the purposes of cannibalism. Their regime was totalitarian. That little soundbite reminds me of what happens in places like Haiti for whatever reason. Skipping forward, he writes, the upper class being deprived of the softer pleasures both by the abolition of the family and by the supreme duty of devotion to the state would acquire the mentality of ascetics. They would care only for power. And this passage reminds me of Hillary Clinton in particular and folks like her. They would acquire the mentality of the ascetics. They would care only for power and in pursuit of it would not shrink from cruelty. By the practice of cruelty, men would become hardened so that worse and worse tortures would be required to give the spectator a thrill. And so, you know, all of that to me sounds like America. And, you know, we get to a Running Man scenario where the plebs are essentially kind of emulating these cruel authoritarian rulers. Anyway, so, you know.
I have
does that sound like America? Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're always working to increase the distance between them and us. And I have one little point, though, and I think you'll agree with me. The point about the Republic and the democracy, and I'm not for the democracy. I see the flaw you say. But here was this woman, and it was those representatives of the Republic that only gave her a minute and a half and made her shut up and then drug her out. So the thing is, both systems have failed. I don't know what the answer is. The best thing I'm kind of seeing going right now is I think the Justice Democrats, they'll only back people who refuse to take big money. They're trying to get the money out of politics. But let's face it, that's the root of the problem. So I think the Justice Democrats on that, they're on the right track, okay? We have to get the money out because these people will be corrupted by it. But I tell you what, to understand more about this country, Tim Wise, 400-year head start, try to figure out where you are in this system. And, you know, I'll admit I'm a plebe, okay? And, I mean, I did pretty well for myself for starting at the bottom until, of course, more powerful people with the help of corrupt people in government stole it from me, you know, so you have to be careful of that. You see, even you work all your life to accumulate it so you're secure in your old age, and then, oh, here comes somebody in this corrupt judicial system or people who know people or whatever have the power, and oops, they can steal more with a pen and the right connection than all these people always pointing at the petty criminals. Trust me on this. Those people with a pen can steal more from you than if a little brown person backed a truck up to your house and wiped it out to the walls, okay? The thing is, too many people are focusing on the petty criminals. The ones who steal the most, unfortunately, are white-collar criminals who wear suits. They steal way more, okay? But the thing is, so many people have focused...
Well,
wrong direction,
folks,
and I want to thank you, Chris. I think you're keeping some of the old stuff alive, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I hope so. You know, it's stuff that needs not to go away. We need to, guard that, and kind of like the precious jewel of liberty, as Patrick Henry put it. But your sentiments remind me of that quote that kind of floats around, give a man a gun and he can rob a bank, give a man a bank and he can rob the world. So speaking of the pen.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. These people that focus on the petty, those are the amateurs. The professionals, criminals and thieves wear suits. They're on Wall Street. You know, the Patriot radio people used to focus on the crimes on Wall Street and the bankers. Now they're worried
Ivy
about
League
the little brown
pirates.
People.
Yep, Ivy League pirates. Absolutely.
Yes, you're right about that. Thanks, I hear the commercial.
Yep, thank you, Renee. Appreciate it. As always, folks, stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer: it works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Life full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's broadcast is Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. Points of clarification and then back to the phones. Call it whatever you want. totalitarian regime, authoritarian, scientific dictatorship, cybernetic totalist regime, a kakistocracy, a cratocracy, pathocracy, which I think are all apropos. It's pretty clear something has gone horribly wrong in America, and I'm not among those who would say that the American experiment has failed, the great American experiment. I would say that the remedy, speaking of the remedy, is kind of a combination of the things that I've mentioned, you know, Jeffersonian informing of folks' discretion. You know, we have this caste system, and we have, you know, we've heard over the years that this is not what was envisioned. As Jefferson put it in his inaugural address, sometimes it's said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others, or have we found angels in the form of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question. Anyway, in his bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, Jefferson said the best remedy against tyranny, in paraphrasing, was to illuminate the, as far as practicable, the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them the knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes, and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. So are we doing that? Are we informing their discretion, illuminating the minds of the people as far as practicable, the people at large, giving them the knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth? You know, we go back to Andrew Jackson's farewell address, talking about the exercising the will of the people, and it will be exercised if you determine upon it, as he put it. Are we doing that? The power, however, is in your hands, and the remedy must and will be applied if you determine upon it. Those are the words of Andrew Jackson. Now we have the system that, as Bertrand Russell wrote, you know, we have professional nurses raising children, and we have people advocating for this. Well, you know, little Johnny and little Sally should be in school when they're 4 years old. It's not school, it's propaganda. Raised by professional nurses. STEM schools, same thing. You're basically working in your own planned obsolescence in transhumanist fashion and posthumanist fashion. There's, you know, more to read from The Impact of Science on Society, but that's, I would say, the American Republic and the Great American Experiment has not failed, but was hijacked and usurped, first by the administrative nonsense and those pathocrats, and then ultimately by this technocratic nonsense and, you know, as Philip Bobbitt puts it, the market state, or Patrick Porter, the market security state, which I think is more accurate at this point. That's what's happening. So, Ed, read a little bit further along what Bertrand Russell writes about the difference between a totalitarian regime, a scientific dictatorship, in theory and in practice. It's exactly what's happening in America. Let's go back to the phones and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I've been listening. I could comment on everything, but I won't.
Yeah. For days,
what's going
right?
on here? You know, yeah, what's going on here? Well, first of all, This place we call the land of the free and the home of the brave, you know, freedom and liberty is okay. It's great, as long as you're living on this continent. We don't want to offer that to the nations that we want to usurp and take control of and put
exploit
in the same
disparities
body that put the American, right.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay? What we're seeing, Chris, in my opinion, Psalms 2 has come to life. Let me read about three verses, and then three at the end of it. And bear in mind, this is talking about conspiring and conspiracy. So why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. And I'll let the people read the middle of that. Then you come to 10, 11, and 12 verse. Now, therefore, kings, be wise, be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. What we're seeing, and I don't mean to be preachy, but this is so real that the whole idea of accidental history, if Satan is in control, if he is the prince and the power of the air and he's in control, then common sense will tell you that he sets people in places of authority, much like he tempted Christ with, I'll give you the world, boys, if you just bow your knee and worship me. And unfortunately, he wasn't rebuked. He wasn't told, the Lord rebuke you. And people have taken him up on it. And they're in control around this world, in government, national, local, county, police department, you name it. They've sold, they've made the deal, literally made the deal. And we're suffering for it worthily, I might add, if you're in, you know, if you're redeemed, you're able to go through this. Can you imagine, Chris, facing all of this without knowing that you're victorious in the end? That's why people are succumbing. That's why people are folding or buckling. They have no backbone. We're de-educating. The thing about controllers, the last thing they want to have is someone that has the ability to understand what's going on and to not comply, to resist, to be a nonconformist, you know, what they would say, a troublemaker.
Yep.
And at an early age, for a child that understands more than the teacher, well, they ship them off and they get special education. They get to ride a short bus. They get drugs. They get all the rest. When really it's, the people that are in control of this conspiracy are very fearful. Anyone that can upset their apple cart or pull the curtain back on the man behind the curtain, literally controlling with a TV and a radio and a microphone, saying one thing, literally, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing, whether he's behind a pulpit or in the government as a so-called Christian leader, the many good things that are started by people with the best intent, it doesn't take long to co-opt it, because the buses show up, whether it's Sarah Palin and John McCain and the Tea Party, or it's Chris on the radio. And if you're given truth, not going to take long if someone comes along trying to stop you. I don't know. I mean, all of the callers have been excellent. We've got to realize what the battle really is. We can talk about political solutions. We can talk about military solutions. We can talk about stocking up, guns and gold and whatever. That's all trying to paint it. You know, that's putting lipstick on the pig. That's not the cure. The cure is to realize what's going on and who your enemy really is.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're shadow
Absolutely.
Boxing.
Absolutely.
So that's what I had, and I appreciate it, Chris. I really do.
Well
I
said.
I pray that people would wake up.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks, John. Absolutely. Things are going to get more harrowing. There's no limit to the places that's corroborated. I won't get into that right now. We'll just go back to the phone. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones and grab David in Massachusetts. Dave, thanks for calling. Welcome.
David. Yeah, hi, Chris.
Hey, David.
Chris. Yeah. Yeah, I'm on a bus, but that's okay. I should be able to get this call through before I have to get off. Hey, Chris, if I can go back to like the end of last week, when I was suggesting that the best move that America could make on the devil's chessboard, what Brzezinski would call like the devil's chessboard, is to normalize relations with Iran and make Iran an ally and so on and so forth. Maybe have a mutual defense pact and so on and
there's
so
no,
forth.
There's no denying or disputing really from any corner. You talk to any foreign policy expert, so-called, and they'll all pretty much agree that Iran is a moderate force in the region. They're a sort of bulwark. You know, there's this talk of Hezbollah and all this nonsense, but really when you can kind of corner somebody, and even the foreign policy, the most hardcore foreign policy experts will agree that Iran is a moderate force in the region. In other words, essentially a stabilizing force. Absolutely.
Yeah, Chris. So what I wanted to be clear about, somebody might get the wrong impression and say, boy, Dave is really throwing Israel under the bus, huh? Dave's really throwing Israel to the dogs. Not at all. That's the greatest thing that could happen for Israel's security. If the United States ran over as an ally and had the mutual defense pact and so on and so forth, one of the conditions, of course, would be for Iran not to attack Israel. And plus, Iran would never attack Israel if we were a strong ally of Iran, because they know that Israel is America's closest ally in the Middle East, and they wouldn't want to lose. Iran wouldn't want to lose the benefits of being an ally of America and having a mutual defense pact. So, the greatest thing that could happen for Israel's security is for America to make amends with Iran, whatever, as I said, whatever the heck it takes, even on Iran's conditions. We did horrible things to them. People don't know what I mean by that either. I'm not just talking about Mossadegh. You know what I'm talking about, Chris. This great global super Satan, Saddam Hussein was a creation of this great global super Satan. We were the author of that horrible eight-year war, the Iraq-Iran war. That never would have happened if this great global super Satan hadn't created Saddam Hussein and used him as his pit bull. We've done horrible things to Iran, horrible things. They might, no matter what we do, they might never want to be our friends. We've abused them and misused them so much. But if we could win them over, it would be the greatest thing for Israel's security.
Okay? Well, it reminds me of the, Native American intrigue and deception, if you will. Basically the same kind of forces that have been beguiling and exploiting, taking advantage of folks, even here, did the same thing to Iran, have used the same weapons, intelligence community, United States military, et cetera, to attack and exploit Iran, its natural resources in particular. And so, to stop doing that. And these people are incredibly patient, I think. I mean, really, maybe not. That might be a mischaracterization, but incredibly patient for those who know the history, and a lot of them do, going back decades and decades and decades. This kind of abuse. I think you're right. It would be one of the best things that could happen, not just for the, so-called Israel, but also for everyone in the region and really around the world. The Shia folks in Iran are not Wahhabi, Salafi, not even Deobandi, really. I mean, they kind of they counter that. And, there is a Qutubist element that you could argue sort of exists, but that pales in comparison to the Saudi Wahhabi Salafi machine that's growing over the entire region and now kind of spreading around the world. Anyway.
Chris. That Saudi Arabia was absolutely a nightmare. We do everything wrong. They shouldn't be a great ally of ours. They're one of our deadliest enemies. And Israel, really, when it comes right down to it, they'll turn on Israel too. Israel can't trust them. That those Saudis, that Wahhabi, as you say, the Wahhabism and that radical Islam, and boy, we've been bamboozled into. Into thinking that, is Iran is our mortal enemy and our Saudi Arabia is our bosom buddies. And it's totally insane, Chris, huh?
Absolutely. Yep. Good points, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I'll let you go, Chris, and I wanted to clear that up because I'm not I'm a realist. I mean, I'm not for throwing Israel under the bus. I know our relations with Iran has to always take into consideration Israel's security, but I think that would make Israel more secure than ever if America was allies with Iran and had a mutual defense.
Yep. Good point, David. We're headed into a break. Folks, stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these lies.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Jesus said in John 8, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's a four-part conditional statement. What's ironic is what follows next. The folks whom he was addressing responded. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Which is ironic based on where they are at the moment, but then also maybe reflecting on Egypt and what happened there for a while. I mean, that's a big part of their history. It's ironic. There's an exchange. They go back and forth. And finally, verses 43 and 44 of John 8 read as follows in my 1995 Lockman NASB. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Don't be like that. That's, don't be that. Don't be that guy. Anyway, he is truth, Jesus, and his word is truth. That word is truth. And, speaking of that, John 1:1, basically, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Etc., etc. Anyway, John in Tennessee is absolutely right. That is the real kind of crux of the matter. And so it's high time to pray the full armor of God and 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's go back to the phones and grab Jenna in Washington. Jenna, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for Jenna. Taking my call. Great conversations today. I'm calling because I was looking into Tartary from listening to a podcast this week, and fascinating stuff, digging up some history that's not too far off from now. In the 13th century, someone just revealed that Genghis Khan, his father, was Hero Jesus, and the horseback messengers, and how they spread their empire around the world. And my ancestry is Lithuanian, so I started looking into Lithuanian Tartars and those small villages that welcomed the Tatars in to defend from the Teutonic Wars, defending their custom of religion that really is all one, and that Muslim is Christian. Like, there is no differentiation, only what we've accepted as a difference of all these different religious. You know, the religion has been separated to separate us, because it all goes back not too far in our past. And all these scripts of, like, Slavic, Aryan, Vedic symbolism that we would perceive as Muslim was really just the word spread across Eurasia that it's all one, it's all the same. And I just thought this is just so refreshing and interesting that real history is still somewhere and we can find it.
Well, that's definitely a mouthful. That's a big subject. But, you know, the one delineating factor, I would say, is that question, what will you do with this Christ? That really is the question. Anyway, we're out of time. I appreciate your call. Jenna, thank you. Paul, sorry we missed you. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.